good gifts to their children. So you can say to somebody next to you, you might know them, you might not know them, good fathers give good gifts to their children. Just say around you. Amen. Amen. I like Paul's reference to the holiday program. It's interesting, wasn't it? He's just come back from Barbados. He's looking at the holiday program. Bermuda! Barbados was before that. It wasn't. I'm making it up. Last weekend, I was also on holiday. Yeah. Leeds. Leeds. That's great. Beach, this time of year. Beautiful. No, but actually, Paul wasn't on holiday, really. He was seeing family. And so was I. And this is about family. And we have a good father who gives good gifts to his children. Amen? So, welcome this morning. My name is Martin. I think most of you know me. For those that don't, welcome to High Street. And if you've been coming 1,000 years, welcome again. And we're going to look at a passage that's it's familiar. It's 1 Corinthians 12, concerning spiritual gifts. And the longer I've been a Christian, the more important I think spiritual gifts are. And the less heed is paid to spiritual gifts in most of Christendom. It's a disaster. When I was in Leeds last week, I went to a church that I was baptized in when I was a student over 30 years ago.
Whoa.
And I was baptized when I was two. I wasn't. No, it was a long time ago. And I was baptized with a group of guys that were from Nigeria, and at that time they were going back to certain persecution. And it was a very key time in my life. And I became a Christian the year before in a Pentecostal beach mission. And I was a Pentecostal church in Leeds. I got baptized. And last Sunday we revisited this church. And they've moved. And they built a new church. And this just finished. And it's about the size of the ark. And I counted up the number of people. I'm thinking, this is about the size of the ark. This is amazing. I drove on site. God suddenly said, this is it. And it was a big church building with other buildings around it, like a campus style thing. And I'm thinking, this is significant. This is kind of interesting. Things start to work. This guy, the guy that preaches, I'm thinking, wow, I'm sitting there being hit by the Holy Spirit. You understand that? Don't think anybody else was. It was about me. But before I went to church that morning, my daughter Mary had written Psalm 23 on her mirror in the bathroom, using kind of special mirror pens, I don't know what they are. And she left the pen on the bathroom side. And I thought to myself, hey, I could write something on this mirror. My initial thought was write something cheeky. I thought, no, I can't do that. It's out of order. So I thought, I'd put a scripture up. So I was kind of all ready to go, 1 Colossians 15. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. I was kind of ready to go. And I thought, you know, we better get moving. So I didn't do it. I arrived at church, and the guy preached that very passage. Wow. And do you know what? That, for me, you might kind of think that's amazing. That's a spiritual gift. I don't want to kind of go on about this stuff. But if you seek God, God will put something in your heart. And it's good for you and it's good for other people. Is that true? So I prayed to God, and the guy was preaching at the front. I thought, this is amazing. This church is kind of a bit like we're going to be doing at the Ark. It's a completely different place. This is middle of Leeds. We're kind of much more rural. The population's completely different. But I kind of felt there was a kind of, God's brought me here for a reason. This is interesting. So there's a church of 500 people, and it's his second service of the morning. Groups of 500 about, I would guess. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm going to get to speak to this guy. He doesn't know me. He's going to be kind of surrounded by people. And so I thought, I'll tell you what, God, if you're in this, I'll go at the front and I'll meet him straight away. So as soon as he finished preaching, he got up, went to the front, he came down, there was nobody else waiting for him, I just grabbed him and kind of said, this is where we are, this is what we're doing. And I thought, oh, God, this is interesting. And he said to me, that's amazing, he says, can I visit? So, yeah, great, we'll talk about it. And we kind of swapped notes. And he said to me a really amazing thing. He said, Martin, there seems to be kind of a lot in common on our journeys. But I said, he said, we're doing something that I bet you're not. And I said, well, what's that? He said, we got a ministry among a certain people group. And I said, no, what's that? He goes, among Romanians. Whoa. For those that don't know, I lead a ministry here. It's not quite as grand as theirs, but we work with some of these guys working in agriculture at G's, and the majority of which are Romanian. And do you know, I kind of, when God is moving you, when God is poking you, you think, wow, this is good. Do it more often. Amen? Amen. So, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Your version may say ignorant. And it's interesting how this was written by Paul such a long time ago, but it's so relevant today to the church in the UK, maybe around the world. I do not want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts. I kind of find it interesting in churches how this we can kind of pull back from spiritual gifts. Why is that? I remember years ago here at a Christian conference, a key leader in the Christian world at the time in the UK was asked, okay, what's going to be the agenda of the next kind of millennium in the church? And he said, adult baptism and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. He said, that's it. It always has been, but the church continually pulls back. And as people, we do. You might recognize that in yourself and your own walk. Working in spiritual gift is not a party piece. It gave breakthrough in everything that Jesus did, everything that happened after Pentecost. Spiritual gifts unpacked, changed people, changed lives. Amen? Mervyn is not here tonight, he's preaching elsewhere, I think. So, tell me a story on Friday. Friday morning, we're here praying, and he tells me this story that years and years ago, a man he used to work with in a foundry, a young girl gave him a leaflet about a healing meeting. He kind of blasphemed about this notice, and he says, is this true? Is your God really able to heal? And he brought along his son. It's all right. I think it was his son. He had a terrible digestive condition and the doctors couldn't help him. Came along to a meeting. He was gloriously healed. And Mervyn lost touch with this guy. And this couple of weeks ago, he got a phone call from this guy. This is decades ago. He's now running a church in Suffolk, two congregations, packed out. He said to Mervyn, come and preach, but you'll have to preach twice. And I'm thinking, from the healing, it's brought about that guy's life. And he's now leading a church. And he came with a son who was critically ill, and God changed him and led him into ministry through a spiritual gift of healing. Amen? Amen. So he writes, I do not want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. And here Paul talks about the Holy Spirit as if you're a believer, he's already been operating in your life, drawing you to Jesus. But he's got more work to do. More work to do. I can guarantee in each of our lives, certainly in my life, the Holy Spirit wants to do more work in my life. I think you could turn to your friends again and say, the Holy Spirit's got more to do in your life. I think they might feel slightly offended. I don't know, but it's true. Anybody here who the Holy Spirit is finished with? No. The Holy Spirit's got more to do in my life. Mervyn, you're up there. Was that story right, Mervyn? Was that story right about the foundry man?
Very nearly.
Very nearly.
His name was Ron Blackwell, but the big miracle was he stopped swearing instantly.
There we are. led astray by mute idols, it says in this passage. Mute idols. In our lives, some parts of the world, idols clearly exist. People worship them, bow down to them. In one sense, they're figures of wood and metal with bits of cloth on them or whatever, but they become hosts for demons in a sense. And their worship can lead to us becoming demonized. You see it in Laos? Sure. See it around the world? Led astray by satanic powers. But on the pronouncement that Jesus is Lord, our lives are changed and come under a different rulership. Jesus chose me. It's interesting how the Bible talks about he chose us, even though we often think we chose him. He chose us. The Bible says this, it says here, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Different kinds of gifts. You might think to yourself, it's not for me, Martin. I don't think I've got any spiritual gifts. I think that is really unlikely. We'll see what the Bible has to say then. The same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, is the same God at work. God wants to give good gifts into your life and see you use them for his service. Amen? Amen. Amen. Different gifts, different service. This is our God. Now to each one it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The common good is the collective good. It's everybody. So God might give you a gift of the Holy Spirit into your life. We'll have a look at what these are in a moment. And it's not just for you. It's for the benefit of this church. It's for the benefit of this church. That people might come to know him. That people might grow in faith. That they might be encouraged. That they might be healed. That they might be restored. Hands up who would like to see this church benefit from a spiritual gift that God gives them. Amen. Amen. It's so critical because what happens if I refuse to ask God for any spiritual gifts or refuse to operate in those spiritual gifts? The rest of this body is poorer as a result. Amen? It's poorer. So people say to me, oh, Martin, I think I've got this. I'm not sure. Flop around like a fish out of water. And I think to myself, sort yourself out because you've been given this for this church. Paul, this morning, he didn't know what I was preaching, and I told him very briefly, after he shared from the book at the prayer meeting about Tozer, and it's kind of, people, Tozer said, it's kind of easy to look at your leaders and say, if only we had this, we had this, we had this, we had this. And he said, no, it's about hosting the presence of the Holy Spirit among us, and valuing what he has to give us, that we hold his name in highest honor, and that it moves amongst us, gifting and equipping, that we might serve him and give him glory. Amen. 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 I was so pleased. Again, I kind of don't want to keep going on about when I visited Leeds because it's interesting. You're kind of away from home a little bit, home church, and kind of you're sitting there. And sometimes I love visiting other churches, and sometimes I don't really. It's strange to say that. But I did enjoy going to Leeds. And this guy's preaching, and he suddenly stops and says, hey, God has said to me, don't worry about your provision. He says, I don't know about that, but there's somebody here that's worried about their provision. He says, God says, don't worry. He's got it all in hand. He will prosper you and protect you. Then he just went back to his sermon. 3 days before we were there, I learned that my biggest customer at work, who gives me about 65, 70% of my work, had gone bust. And I'm thinking, oh, this is going to be interesting. And suddenly he kind of says, I don't know why, I've got 500 people in this congregation, but God, don't worry. And I thought, wow, bang. And I received it, not as words, but as something mending a hole in my heart. Do you understand that? Amen. A spiritual operation into my heart. And I am thankful that he stopped his sermon to give a word of knowledge. Amen? It's a gift. was operating in his gifts, blessing and encouraging me. Should I have been anxious? Probably not. But God is a good, good Father. It's given for the common good. 1 Corinthians 26 says this, a different passage, a bit further on. It says, "What then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up and strengthened." You might say strengthened in your version, built up. So the spiritual gifts are for the common good, that the church might be strengthened and built up. Amen? So if you look at the church and you look at us and say, "Lord, I want this church to prosper and grow," it says here, when, then what should we say? Brothers and sisters, when you come together, each one of you would have a hymn, a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Whoa. Hey, where's the responsibility? Each one of us. Each one of us. Wow. Doesn't make any difference your education, your level of English, how long you've been at this church, how many A-levels you've got. The wonderful thing is the movement of the Spirit of God is independent of this stuff. Amen? I went to see Bernard this week, and he was at home. I heard he's at hospital again, but he was at home, and he's not very well at all, but he's praying with me, speaking out stuff, remembering what God has promised, standing in God's promises. Oh, whoa, God, here's a man, he's kind of really ill, full of faith. Good to see. It's encouraging. Lord, I pray that whatever you've given me for the building up of this congregation, I wouldn't hold it back. I wouldn't rob you of the goodness of God's kingdom. Amen? Is it possible? Is it possible that we might have a gift inside us that's we've never worked in it, we've never used it? We might have tried it, but it didn't work, and we're kind of a bit embarrassed. I pray for loads of people that haven't been healed, but I pray for some people that have been remarkably healed. As my son, he's very disabled. I pray for him lots. He's not healed. I keep praying. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I prayed for people now. I prayed for people this morning. But God doesn't make a difference. Still full of faith for people that people would be healed. Amen? It's just God's way does this stuff. And I think about the saints that have gone past that were Livingston in Africa, full of malaria, standing, leaning on a stick, preaching the gospel. Whoa. Because sometimes in our weakness, that's where God is strength. Amen. So, Father, whatever you've given me by the Holy Spirit, Lord, let us use it for your glory. He writes to Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy. It was a well-known passage. He has to write a similar thing twice in two consecutive letters. First letter, "Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by the prophecy when your council of elders laid their hands on you." Wow. He's been given this gift, and he's been warned not to neglect it. I don't think this is unique to Timothy at all. I think we may well have received remarkable stuff in the past and neglected it. Again, the second letter, it says, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." Is it possible to neglect it? Yes. Is it possible not to fan it into flame? Absolutely. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been prayed for by lots of people here and often remarkable insights, words of knowledge into my life. I've been so thankful for over the years. And when I shared recently with a number of people, in our house, we've got a very old cupboard, and in that very old cupboard is a huge key. It's really old. It's kind of, you know, key. You turn like this. It's fantastic. You imagine something amazing is going to be behind it. It's nothing amazing in the cupboard. Slightly disappointing. But there's this huge key. And I love this key. It's kind of really nice. I think, oh, how old this key is. There must be some interesting stories behind it. Kind of that kind of imagination stuff. So about 6 months ago, while he was praying for some people, do you remember this? I don't know if you remember. While he's praying, he prays for me. He doesn't know this. And he goes, Martin, he says, God's telling me you'll love keys. You love keys. And God's going to give you keys in your hand. They're going to unlock some doors. Wow. It's a word of knowledge into my heart. I know that God's listening. I know that he's speaking to me. He's opening up possibilities. We were so thankful. We were blessed. We had a group of guys here. They came from Cambridge. There's a bunch of prophets. Remarkable stuff over people. My desire is that we'd see more of that springing up amongst our people here. Amen? When we say amen, do we mean everybody else but me? I hope we mean me. Lord, let it be me. Let it be me. So what do I mean by the gifts is a list here in this passage. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. I'm sometimes in conversation with people and somebody says something and it suddenly goes, wow, where did that come from? That suddenly, I know that's the answer. Message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit. People might come up to you and they're kind of praying for you and stuff comes out about your life. Lorna and I were being prayed for by a guy a few years ago, and he said, Martin, Lorna, and he kind of described us with two particular plants that we used for analogies for our life. They were both our favourite plants. It's incredible stuff, and I've had it lots of times. My daughter was here, being prayed for a while ago, and the guys were kind of talking about where she was going, and it was about career, and it was all unpacked about her future and career. Words of knowledge, prophecy, remarkable. It's this stuff that changes lives, that brings revival, that does the work of Jesus here on earth. This is not icing on the cake, ladies and gentlemen. This is fundamental what it is to be a Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. We don't do this, but I kind of think when I was preparing this, I'd have to talk to Paul about it. I'm kind of thinking when we do our Foundation Stones course, we ought to kind of at the end of the course line people up, pray for them and say, Lord, would you fill this person with the gift of your Holy Spirit that they might fill their destiny in serving you in whatever you've got for them in this earth. Lord, would you do it now? Would you fill them with your Holy Spirit? Right, when you pray for that, you can be a member. Amen? Well, we're not going to change policy here. But I kind of think this is so important. I love it when people find their calling in God, when people are equipped with the spiritual gifts they need to fulfill their calling. It's a wonderful place to be. But if you haven't, ask God. Ask God. To another, faith by the same Spirit. Wow, wow, we're kind of building this massive thing called the Ark. I did a course recently. There was a chief designer for Nissan cars on a course. I do training for a job. He's chief designer for Nissan. And I was chatting to him. He wanted to know what I did for a job. I told him what I did. I told him that most of the time I'm much more interested in church stuff. He asked about that. I told him about the Ark. He went on the website. A week later, he comes to see me. He goes, Martin, that's remarkable. I'm speechless. Can I come and see it? And this guy, he kind of designed cars that goes around the world. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, it's remarkable. But it wouldn't have happened if God hadn't put faith in the hearts of people who were behind that project to say, if God has called me, it will happen. Faith is planted in people's hearts. We need that stuff. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Yes, but also faith is a gift. that God will give in extraordinary situations. Do you need it? I do. I need messages of wisdom, messages of words of knowledge. I need gifts of faith. I need gifts of healing. We prayed for people this morning. My prayer is you would be healed and restored. There's many people here that need healing. Wonderful thing to pray for people and to see them healed. It's a wonderful thing. There are very few things that make me cry at home. So when there was a film on and people are looking at it, they're looking to me to say, is he going to cry? The kids are looking at me, is he going to cry? But actually, not generally, but when it comes to the move of the Holy Spirit, I am frequently brought to tears. Lord Jesus, gifts of healing. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy, speaking God's word to a people. To another, distinguishing between spirits. What's happening with this person? How are they behaving like that? What's happening here? Help me, Lord. What is happening? Unpack what I'm seeing, what I'm sensing in the spirit. I can't see it. I can't understand that. Gift me with what's going on here. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues, which you might have heard a bit this morning. I know people have not spoken in tongues for years and years and years, and then suddenly that's come. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. Well, somebody will speak out loud in tongues here. Somebody else will say, okay, this is what's been said. All these are the work of the one of the same Spirit, and he just distributes them to each one just as he determines. Everybody's different. We've got different callings. We've got different service. The Spirit will work different things in our life, but it's like a body of different parts being built together. I want to be a functioning part of that body. Amen? Amen? It is horrible, isn't it? Just having toothache, one part not working, you just want to go into bed, lie there, the whole of the rest of the body shuts down because of one tooth. Anybody been in that position? Yes. Or a tiny little thing. That, what's that wiggly thing in your intestine called? Appendix. That's it. Or is that a thing in the grammar? I don't know, one of the two. So it kind of goes wrong. Oh, or you get kind of some stones in different parts of your body. Oh, the whole world collapses. And it would happen to me. But Paul, he uses that analogy here of the body to say we need to be operational using this stuff to bless and serve one another. Amen. Amen, amen. Now, you that are the body of Christ, and each, I'm reading down a bit, I've missed a little bit, down 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, prophets, teachers, then miracles, then the gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But then he says at the end, now, eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire. Wow. Kind of sometimes people say to me, Martin, if God's going to give me stuff, he'll give me stuff. It sounds kind of pious. Sounds kind of holy. I understand that. But the scripture says, eagerly desire. Eagerly desire. That's asking, pleading, seeking. I have friends who are critically ill. You have friends who are critically ill. Lord, would you give me the gift of healing that I might bless them, that you might gift me for the common good, to see your kingdom manifest here on earth. Amen. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts. We got a boy at home, I won't name him, but it's short, and when it comes to birthdays and Christmases, we say to this young chap, what would you want? And he wants the next grade of scooter. So scooters have got two small wheels on it, and you kind of hold these hands, and they kind of do interesting things. You can go on kind of spin around them and things. So I take him with his existing one, which is kind of reasonably pricey, and we go to the scooter park in Soham. It's all concrete kind of things there that you can whiz around. And I said, okay, boy, show me your stuff. And he says, not today. Maybe next week. And he'll continue to just go up and down the drive, which is is fine. But I'm not spending £100 on the next one up if he's just going to go up and down the drive. Do you understand? If he eagerly desires stuff, I want to see him walk in what he's got. I want to see him spend his time on it, take risks, love what he's doing, fulfill his potential, and then I'll see that and gift him with even more. Amen? Don't you go buying anyone for Christmas behind my back. I read this, before I decided to preach on this, I read this, it's from Isaiah. It's kind of after a very well-known passage where Isaiah 43, where there's fantastic prophecies about Jesus and the restoration of Israel. It says this, "Yet you have not called on me, Jacob. You have not wearied yourself for me, Israel. You have not brought me sheep or burnt offerings and not honored me with your sacrifice. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not brought any fragrant calamus for me or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices, but you have burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your offenses." And I thought, wow, do you know what it says here? You have not yet wearied yourself on me. And I see that in terms of pleading for God to work in my life. That actually, if I want something, God wants to see my heart saying, "Lord, would you use this body during this time on earth?" I plead, I knock on your door, like the widow pleading on the unjust judge. "Lord, would you come? Would you fill me?" I've asked again, I've asked before, I'm asking again. Paul, when he writes this Roman church he's heard so much about, he longs to visit the Roman church, and he does later in life in chains, but he says this. This is Romans 1. This is after the kind of introductory section of Romans. He says this, "In my prayers at all times, and I pray now at last by God's will, the way may be open to me to come to you." It's very early on in Romans. "I long to see you, that I may impart to you some," anybody know? "Spiritual gift." This is one of the most key letters in the New Testament, the book of Romans. And at the early part of this letter, he says, "I long to come and see you, that I might impart to you some spiritual gift." And today, in the church in the UK, this is seen as icing on top of the cake for some congregations in the UK. Wow. What are we doing? Letting down the Holy Spirit. Would you agree? Lord, would you forgive us? Lord, might you find willing vessels here. Later on, he says this, "that I long to see you, so I may impart some spiritual gift to make you strong." Whoa. To make you strong. So these spiritual gifts are for the common good, that to build up each other. He says here, "I long to give you a spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith." Oh, to make you strong, that we would encourage each other. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the gifts he wants to pour into our lives. Amen? Wow. Past time. So we're going to pray. Do you have an appetite? Have we yet wearied ourselves pursuing God for this stuff? Probably not. We're going to pray over you. And if you'd like, stand, and we're going to pray that we might receive the Holy Spirit and his gifts. We're out of time, really, but so I'm going to pray briefly. If you kind of feel God stirring you this morning, the passage talks about laying of hands of elders. We can do that. We're happy to do that, but we need to close and get kids and things. But I'm going to pray for us all. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit and the gifts you want to pour into our lives. Lord, I'm sorry for where I've treated them casually. Lord, my desire is that I might receive everything you have for me. Lord, I eagerly desire what you want to pour into my life so I might do your work here on earth before I meet you into eternity. Lord, would you come and would you fill these people here with your gifts that they might be a blessing to this church, to their families, to their communities, that they might encourage one another and be strong in you. And that we might see many come to the knowledge as a living God. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we finished, but if you want to be prayed for, please come and we can pray for you.